Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where Trace Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome TV show or movie. I'm your host, Freddie Wong.
Give me a break. Story break. Break me off a piece of that screenplay story. I'm Will Campos trying out a new jingle today. I'm a screenwriter. Deal with it.
My name is Mattis of the Land of Ta, from Sector 4, a writer, a teller of tales, and one of two parents gave birth to a young child named Dorothy of the Land of Ta.
This week, a weird one from the edge
moving
of the internet.
Right along.
From the edge of the internet, a mystery that has bewildered internet netizens for the last couple of years, Geedus and the Land of Ta. Now, I had no idea what this was, so Will, I think you're going to be the man to bring us in.
So this one comes fresh from the Facebook group, courtesy of Daniel Christensen, who brought to our attention the story of Geedus and the Land of Ta. So basically, I'm going to try to summarize this as best I can. Someone on the internet discovered, like in a flea market or like some sort of estate sale, this pin, like a manufactured, like a Maximum Fun pin you might get from donating to the Maximum Fun podcast network.
MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org. Comedy, culture, music, and
Geedus.
And Geedus. So Geedus is like this weird little elf looking guy. He's like a fuzzy, he's got like a snout and like weird beady little yellow eyes. And so this pin is like a metal pin that clearly was like manufactured for some reason. And it just says Geedus on the bottom. So he was like, does anyone know Geedus? This seems vaguely familiar. What the fuck is Geedus? We'll have Geedus pictures up on the Story Break Twitter so you can play along Story Break the home game. And so then this kind of kicked off a spark to figure out like what Geedus was from. Like it was like, it felt like some sort of vague half-remembered Saturday morning cartoon. And sure enough, they found a sticker set full of all of these other weird creatures such as Zoltan and Iggy and Eric and Tokar from the Land of Ta, which of course only raised further questions, which is like, what the fuck is the Land of Ta? What the hell is this? Kind of the current speculation is either this is like a Saturday morning cartoon show from another universe. I kind of think it's pretty similar to our episode of Dimension 404 Chronos, where a TV show gets wiped from existence and people are trying to figure out what happened to it. But it's also like, they think it might have just been like an attempt to jumpstart a fantasy franchise by launching the merch
first. Yeah, and those post-Star Wars, a lot of toy companies started their own IPs. So, and you know, a lot of these places might have tested it in toy fairs and stuff like that. So it's very possible this toy company was trying to make their own Star Wars, Conan, you know, He-Man type thing.
Yeah, one of the characters, Tokar, is very clearly C-3PO.
Yeah.
Like, I want to point this, there's like a robot, there's like an evil C-3PO.
And the last thing is they seem to have uncovered a few other sticker sheets that are probably related. So the only thing to say is that it's essentially knockoff Star Wars, but there seems to be a very clear Conan the Barbarian vibe as well. So there's a sticker sheet of guy barbarians and then some more aliens that look kind of like Geedus. And then there's the girls of Ta, which are all like
the women of Ta.
Women of Ta, which are all like barbarian women. Some of them are pretty interesting, including like a mermaid barbarian woman, which is, but like the mermaid half is like a lizard. So it's pretty weird.
So this week, we crack the story. We story archaeologist. We'll piece together from these hieroglyphs, these stickers.
We will do what the Denison Toy Sticker Company couldn't do in 1980, which is make a good version of the Land of Ta, something that the kids would be buying today.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Here's the thing that most interests me.
Isn't Geedus the guy, the Red Hot Chili Peppers guy?
That's Flea.
No, the singer.
Geedus? I don't know.
There's nobody called Geedus.
Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, Kiedis.
Is the Red Hot Chili Peppers guy.
Just to paint a general picture for you so you're kind of, the people playing along at home can kind of follow us. It is like a very Ralph Bashke 1970s, early 1980s sword and sorcery vibe to these pictures. You've got loincloth barbarians with big mustaches. Again, kind of like a kid's version of a Molly Hatchet cover. A lot of weird hybrid animals. There's like a frog slash leopard called Shimra, and like, you know, like big weird, it's just like, it's got a real bong haze.
I'm looking at Tokar, who's, you know, the C-3PO with teeth, Iggy, who's like a swamp thing kind of lizard monster, our boy Eric, who's
some
just
sort
a
of
dude.
Pro man. He's got a beak a though.
He's just like He-Man with a beak and like a helmet and like a weird, like weirdly World War II Germany eagles on his stuff.
I'm telling you, it feels very much like a combination of rip-off Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica with rip-off He-Man Conan.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. Slam those two together.
But here's what excites me about Geetus and the Land of Ta, is that very clearly Geetus is not the main character. Because, so like, it was the first pin that was found. So it's fun because this is now Geetus and the Land of Ta, because what Geetus is very clearly the, like, the Ewok character or the...
Who's the little guy in
Harry Potter?
Oh, Dobby?
He's like Dobby. He's like clearly
or,
like the weird...
What's the Crunchings and Munchings guy in Black Cauldron?
Yeah,
Gurgi.
Yes, he's
our boy Gurgi.
Yes, he's Gurgi from Black Cauldron or Dobby from... He's clearly like the goofy alien, but because he was the first thing that was found on the internet, everybody calls it the Geetus and the Land of Ta. So I'm excited about the idea because what he looks like a weird... bear monkey who's on all fours and his face kind of looks like the people from Where the Wild Things Are.
He does a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got these two little horns and big pig kind of, he's got kind of like a pig snout. He's got a big smile. He's happy.
He's got elf energy.
Yes, he's
elf
got elf energy.
Yeah.
So I love the idea that like this will be the first like Star Wars or fantasy epic where we're going to start from the place of
the wacky little
the wacky
alien.
Stupid wacky character alien. Because this is about the Geetus and the Land of Time. I guarantee you the actual version was called like
it's basic
Sorsar and the Sword Swinger of Doom or something was probably the actual name of this thing.
It's basically like if Star Wars got erased except for a Jar Jar pin.
Yes.
And then you saw Jar Jar and then you saw a bunch of cool Ralph McQuarrie concept art and you're like obviously it's about this guy Jar Jar.
Yes. It's like what was this Jar Jar and the Jedi story? It's like what we have here. So that's what makes it at least because otherwise it's going to be tough because we're essentially going to have to come up with Star Wars, like a new Star Wars. But at least we got a different angle because Geetus is our main character, clearly.
So
Star Wars is, I was just a sidebar for a second. Star Wars is a tough thing to pitch because essentially it's dumb as shit on paper. And it's essentially one of those pitches ends with you going like, no, that, but it'll be good.
Yeah, but it'll be good.
But good. Like Lord of the Rings. Like if you try to pitch Lord of the Rings, you'd be like, what the fuck is he like? Trust me, it's going to be good though.
Be good. That's why you got to write a book ahead of time.
Fantasy's risky stuff.
So I think the first step here is to just dig into some of the clues we can get from the visual materials.
Yes, let's.
And the thing that jumps out at me looking at this, I'm looking at picture of these stickers. More than half of the characters in these stickers appear to be holding some kind of snake-like creature. You
that's
notice that?
True.
They're all like the Harry
You're
here, who's
right.
like this troll character, is holding the snake that has a head of an eagle.
Very Conan.
Zoltan has like a snake.
Iggy's got a so Iggy has a staff with a serpent with a red dragon on it.
Yeah.
Eric's got a staff, no dragon. But then yeah, you've got
and are you guys seeing the
Stefan
women?
Stefan is stepping on a lizard and he's got another staff. A lot of staff action.
Are you guys seeing the women of Ta?
Yeah.
Because they also are all like snakes.
Oh, I'm seeing the women of Ta. Oh,
they're all like,
they've been saved to Will's
they're all,
special folder.
Wait, where's the women of Ta? Oh, I see it.
They're like snakes. They're like dragon snakes. So again, kind of like dragons, like space dragons.
Oh, here's something. Do you think it was like you are a person in a fantasy world and then you have a cool dragon companion?
Oh.
Do you think that was part of the gimmick? Because it's like Sybil. Like, I'm looking at Sybil. Sybil's got the dragon wrapped around the staff. And then Remelda is like sitting in the lap of like this big dragon. Like, that seems to be her familiar.
But both Sybil and Ursula.
None of them are fighting these dragons. Do you know what I mean?
No. I feel like, and this probably sucks because it's the 80s. I feel like the women are the bad guys. And they're all like part of this cult of the dragons.
And there's Cecily. So you got Cecily, who's like the one on the top left. And she's like in a red bikini and has sort of like a proud warrior sort of face. Like she doesn't seem like a bad guy. Like even
I will say this: when you look at the other set of stickers, and if I were to just like sort of look at the designs of these characters, my gut says the people with these lizards are the bad guys because Zoltan, Harry, and Iggy both look like villainous kind of. And if you know what I'm saying, like the top half of this sticker sheet feels like these are the bad guys, and the bottom half are like here are heroes.
Okay, so intriguingly, Stefan. Who has the dragon lance? So there's the lance, and then there's like, but Stefan is stepping on a dragon. Stefan is basically the male version of Cecily. He's a big, burly, scantily clad Viking warrior guy with a red cape who's stepping on this dragon. Mm-hmm. But he also has a staff with a dragon on it.
So he's conquering.
Dragons might be, dragons are clearly like an important symbol in this land.
Yeah, these sort of reptilian lizard-esque.
So we got a lot of lizard action.
Yeah, just a lot of hot lizard action.
Trying to think of where that, how this gets us to.
And then you got a fucking robot.
The robot is far and away the one, if the one of the things outlier. Are not like the other. You have like all these like winged creatures with teeth, and then there's like, here's C-3PO, and he's got red eyes and a grill.
If it wasn't for the robot and the font use for Geetus, I wouldn't think it was a sci-fi thing, because it's got like...
Well, it's kind of got that Flash Gordon sci-fi energy.
Yeah, it, yes. You know?
Okay, so doing some story hieroglyphics, people with staves are on the same team.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So let's say we got Team Staff. Team Staff, intriguingly, but the staffs have different sigils.
Ooh, maybe. Okay, maybe is like a thing where the women of Ta are kind of like the ones who are with.
I'll interrupt you and say I think it's a mistake to assume all the women of Ta are on the same team.
Yes. Yes. No. I
don't think that. I think
because Ursula and Sybil are like not human.
Sybil is not. She's purple or blue. And then you've got Emnaris and Astrid, who are like half human, half lizard, which is a different thing than being a human with a lizard buddy.
Yes, yes.
Human with a lizard buddy or human with a lizard body? Those are the two distinctions that we have.
So yes, we agree that Ta is a universe where not all women are one thing. The women of Ta all have different wants and needs and
all right,
alliances.
Let's chart this out, though. Okay, so let's chart it out. Okay, so you've got Cecily and Romelda both seem to be humanoid women with lizard dragon companions, right? Because Romelda's got the big dragon, and then Cecily's got, like, her dragon buddy.
Cecily's
right?
got wings.
Cecily's got wings? There's... Oh, shit, she does have wings.
What if dragons... Okay, what if the dragons...
Yeah, we need a taxonomy here.
Let's talk about...
Well, hold on. I would say this, because one, talking about these pictures on the internet, I'm sure, is, like, just edge-of-your-seat podcast listening experience for our for our listeners. Why don't we just pick our heroes and then just go from
there? Well, look, we're going to go with Geetus. Let's just set up the world really quick, because you need... What makes this the land of Ta? Right, like if this was Dune, everybody wants spice and there's big worms in the ground, right? So let's just talk about, because there is a universal thing amongst all these pictures, which you don't need to know that there's dragons everywhere. Yeah. Some people are half dragons, some people have staffs of dragons, some people are taking care of dragons.
It seems like you cannot ignore the unique motif of like people holding dragons.
Yes, yes.
So are dragons, and there's different colors of dragons. I'm wondering, like, are dragons, like, can dragons be your spice in Dune? Like different there's different regions of dragons, and some dragons are, you know, command the diamonds, and some people coexist with the dragons and live peacefully. Other dragons attack people. Some dragons live in... I'm wondering if, like, the dragons are...
The key.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what to do with these dragons.
Okay. I'd like to attempt a solve. Okay. So I think you have, like, the world of Ta. Mm-hmm. There are men and there are beasts, right? Or there are humans and there are beasts. I think there's this strange planet, right, where you have all of these different races of bipedal people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, the two legs and the slither bellies or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So, like, you've got Zoltan and Harry and Iggy and Eric, and these are all people, right? But then, like, people in this world, I don't know. Fuck, this is complicated.
Okay, how about this? How about the world split up between non-furry creatures and furry creatures?
Oh, the scales. And
you
the
just
non-
do that.
There's
like,
only one furry creature, though. Yeah. Geetus is the only furry creature.
Yeah, exactly. He's the fish out of water. He's the look down upon.
So that's not really split up. That's one group and then one
Well,
guy.
Then, I mean, there's obviously, just because these are the only stickers we've seen, doesn't mean there's not. What I'm saying is, like, I wonder if this world is full of, it's just mankind, humankind, and dragons have just existed in the land of Ta. And it's just kind of a thirsty saga type place where dragons and man, you know, coexist and mate however they want.
Can I throw something there? Not to interrupt. I think, to me, if I'm looking at this from a kid's fantasy perspective, the idea that you have a cool dragon familiar is like something you can build a kid's fantasy thing off of. So I think what we're seeing here with Iggy and Zoltan and Harry, Cecily and Romelda, is you have these people, and Sybil, right? It's like, this is this world's version of a Jedi Knight. It's like, you're a dragon talker. Right? Mm-hmm. So you have the ability to communicate with dragons and you bond with one of them and you have this cool familiar, right?
Yes.
And so there are chosen ones or whatever from the different tribes on this planet, and like there are good ones and bad ones, right? Like, but this is like a magic, this is this world's version of magic.
It's a skill. Yeah.
So dragons kind of give you, they're like a wand in Harry Potter. Like different dragons
so it's like
have
your
different
wand.
Abilities.
Yeah. Or like in Golden Compass, like your animal familiar.
Or in Avatar, it's like you get your flying creature.
Yeah, something like that, right? And so then I would imagine there are all these different factions and all these different intrigues. You know what you could do? Like, actually,
some,
you could.
Sorry,
do,
just quite. I need to know, how come some women are half dragon?
That's like a different thing. Like, that maybe is like a sorceress who like absorbed the power of a dragon, but mm-hmm. it went wrong, right? Because she wanted to like this, in the that's same, like, and then so now she's half human, half dragon.
Yeah,
like,
in the same way Yoda used to be a dude. Like, Yoda was like a buff, tall dude, and then he absorbed the power of the Force and became Yoda.
Or one, like, Astrid is actually like a super magic dragon that can hack, like, kind of impersonate a person.
Okay.
Like, Astrid would start, you'd be like, it's kind of like Lady in the Lake, where you'd be like, ooh, mm-hmm. there's a beautiful, sexy lady's head poking out of this lake, and then she keeps going up, and you realize it's a trick, and it was a dragon.
Astrid saved her human master by absorbing her into herself.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
What I was going to say then is, like, what you could do is that I feel like your bad guy is Stefan, who is like stepping on a dragon. He's like a dragon hunter.
Well, I like the idea of, like, again, this gets into some of these sci-fi fantasy tropes, but the idea of, like, you know, these people are trying to, there's a force that's coming in of these, like, almost universally Viking looking, you know, like Thor looking dudes with their staff with a dragon on it, and they're trying to tame and conquer, you know, this sort of natural order of things.
It's very How to Train Your Dragon. Like, the town of How to Train Your Dragon after the first one, they coexist with dragons, and they're, you know, they look kind of like Pokemon in the city in the beginning of, they coexist with their dragons. Mm-hmm. And then you have these dragon hunters, these Vikings in How to Train Your Dragons, that want to take the dragons for their own needs, whatever it is. So it's a little bit like Pokemon, too. It's like the women of Ta in this picture are like, they're the people who, you know, love their Pokemon and, you know, coexist and don't force them to do things they don't want to do and, you know, help them become the best versions of themselves and stuff. And these are the, like, Team Rocket are like, we want the most powerful dragons to use for our conquering and wars.
Okay. Now you're getting somewhere. And now I get how Geetus, poor Geetus, the wayward soul middle. Stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle with Geetus.
With Geet.
So yes, how does Geetus get involved in this? So there's this war essentially going on this planet.
So I think what you do is, what if we start with, like, what if our evil empire is, so wait, I'm looking at these guys, Radon and Stefan, right? These cloaked Frank Frazetta buff boys with their horned helmets. Maybe these guys aren't Vikings. Maybe they're space Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Space.
And they Vikings. Go around in their space Viking ship from planet to planet, like amassing power and pillaging and all that stuff, right? And then you do, maybe Geetus is like, he was like from another planet that they had conquered, right? So Geetus starts out like as a captor of the space Vikings. Mm-hmm. And then he uses his Geetus trickery to escape.
Yeah.
And he lands on this planet where people commune with dragons. And then, like, they're looking for Geetus and they're like, oh shit, forget Geetus. Look, there's a whole bunch of dragons down here.
Oh, and so Geetus inadvertently brings death and ruin to this planet. Right,
something like that.
What if the,
and now it's on him to fix what he's fixed, the, you know, pain that he has brought.
What if these space Vikings, like, their past, their history is that their land was consumed by dragons, maybe even a space dragon
and some kind of shirt eating bacteria,
and their whole and their whole life has been fighting, like, in their history is like, we are the one people that survived the war against space dragons back in the day, and that is what they do. They go around and they conquer planets, and they look, again, they go hunting dragons and killing dragons.
What? But space dragons have gotten,
and so they land on this planet. This planet, dragons and people
get along.
So these are the invaders,
because they, from their perspective, right, space dragons hit their planet and their first instinct was to kill one, sparking a war. Whereas in this other planet, the first instinct was not to start this war, and they were able to exist peacefully.
Yeah, because you want the bad guys to also, like, in their mind, they're like, do you know how many planets we've saved people from dragons? Dragons are dangerous. Like, look, these aren't the same type of dragons or whatever. And then you would do that. They are like
you,
that.
Okay. So yes, you do that. There's a space war between Vikings and dragons.
Okay. 12-year-old Matt's totally into this.
Yeah. But. So far.
So, cause I'm also looking at, there's Eris, who is like a big ass green dragon. So, like, let's say like Eris is the dragon queen.
Yeah.
Right. Who has been at war with the king of the Vikings for, you know, millennia. I don't know how that's different from a normal millennia, but,
it's in space.
But there's this one lost planet, right, where they know not of the war, and man and dragon
shrouded in mists, the land of Todd.
Where dragons and people live together in harmony, right? And then the space Vikings discover this land, and they're like, domesticated dragons, this will be the ultimate tool which allows us to destroy the dragon queen once and for all.
Yes. By the way,
the Dragon Queen finds out what she said they're up to. This is like every war story we do turns into two dumb sides that have to get along at the end. But
no, these Vikings should get killed. This is the Empire. I think the Vikings are bad. They started off with like a, you know, you understood them. Just because you understand them doesn't mean they're not bad.
So
they're essentially committing dragon genocide across the solar system.
Okay, so
okay, so
you're not saying there's like a big war between an evil dragon and evil Viking.
No,
and
no,
learn to grow up.
No,
you're
I think
doing
that. No, no, no.
Okay, so my only trick with that is like what. Why do the dragons, like, what is the deal with the dragons? Because then it's not special that there's a planet where the humans and the dragons get along, because, like, the dragons, like, are peaceful, right? And they got attacked by the warlike.
No, but your point of view is starting on this planet of Ta, and then these people come who specifically are here to kill all dragons.
So they just hate dragons.
They start, and their thing is, like, we come here because dragons are magical. Dragons fuel their shit. Dragons are how
dragon blood powers.
Dragon blood power. And then yes, the guy would be like, don't you understand, these beasts are awful. Like, yes, yeah, we use them for our power, but the reason we started in the first place is because dragons attacked our home planet and like we killed them or whatever. That's their rationale or whatever. But yeah, they're just dragon killing Vikings in space.
So they're this evil Viking army that runs ships built on dragon blood. Yeah. Right? And so they go around rounding up dragons to power their spaceships.
Yes. And Geetus is like Shrek, and he just lives in a swamp, and he hates all dragons people because they all bother him. And he's like, as far as I'm concerned, like, get rid of half the dragons out here? Sure, less traffic in the swamp. Sounds great. And then he's got to learn that he's going to come to save his own planet. He's just a big old grump. He doesn't look like a grump, though, to be fair.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't, especially for a kid story, I don't think you want it to be like two sides. They're both good.
Yeah, no, we've
done
that enough times.
Yeah,
it's
a fucking evil.
I want some bad.
12-year-old Matt, yo, you want to watch a cartoon about evil Vikings that go around enslaving and killing dragons to power their Viking ships and then destroy planets? Hell yeah. Who's going to fight them? Fucking crazy barbarian woman with dragon pets. Holy shit. What's the main character? Geetus. Never mind. I'm out. Not in there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so what's special about Geetus? You know what I mean? Like, what's going to bring the kids in to be like, I want to see, I want to eat this fucking Geetus cereal. So, I want to buy the fucking Geetus plush. Like, what? We need the kids, producer Freddie here, putting on his producer hat. Listen, you fucking dinguses, we need the kids to buy Geetus merch. We printed up 15,000 of these goddamn pins, and they got to move off these shelves. All these other things are cool.
Geetus is like your Smurf, right? Like, Geetus or your Hobbit. Like, he is the end of the world, right?
Yeah. Can he have a cool sword? Because even Bilbo had like a cool sword and a fucking cool ring, dude.
The kids flip for goofy aliens.
What?
Kids flip hard for goofy aliens.
What if Geetus is like a tinkerer? And I'm just stealing this from the prequels. He built Tokar, the C-3PO robot. Like, he's got a cool robot buddy.
Okay.
Cool robot buddy.
I'm oh, here. Because you would do. Oh, okay. Board, okay. Hear me out. Tokar just looks evil because he's a battle droid built by the space Vikings. Mm-hmm. And he was sent to scout this planet out. And then, mm-hmm. but he wrecked. And then Geetus, like, ever curious about the outside world, like, rebuilt him, right? And now Tokar's his robot buddy. But when he rebuilt him, he tripped Tokar's, like, homing beacon, right? Like, his visual recorder. Okay, so basically, it's like this.
Okay.
It's like this. You would do that the Vikings sent out, like, robot drones, like von Neumann probes, to explore mm-hmm. the galaxy to find dragons to power their war fleet. And Tokar is one of these drones. And then Geetus fixed him up, and now, like, drone 3472, a.k.a. T.O.K.A.R, mm-hmm. like, is activated, and they see this planet with a shitload of dragons on it, and they're like, fuck yeah, we're gonna go invade.
Okay.
So Tokar's like your R2-D2, kind of. Like, he's the mystery box.
Yeah. But then Geetus.
So Geetus.
What if Geetus is kind of like Snow White? What if Geetus was cast aside because he was born so ugly or something? He's actually like the heir. He's like actually like the prince or something like that. Little does he know. Like,
I feel like Geetus has got that, like, he's like a furry little guy who lives in a cave or something vibe. Like, he doesn't have ousted princess vibe to me.
it's kind of like Avatar: Last Airbender, where he's a big goofball. They're like, we must find the actual heir of the throne. And they find this little furry man. Yeah, okay, man.
Unless you were going to do that, Geetus is like some sort of psychic love monster, and his spirit that, like, because this is his planet. Like, he's the original inhabitant of this planet. And so it's like it's something about this planet that allows humans and dragons to get along. I don't know. Like
Geetus is the psychic link.
No, but then Geetus can't be the main character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it becomes like the MacGuffin that you're going after.
This is definitely the hardest part of this. This
is Geetus.
Who is Geetus? And why is he the main character of this thing? And what makes him cool? Because, by the way, he is definitely not the main character of this show. He is, like, in the sticker sheet. He's, like, in, like, the reject sticker sheet, and he's at the bottom.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he is on the sticker sheet with, like, the weirdo aliens.
Yeah,
right?
Not like, with the barbarians and the women.
Yeah, he's on the sheet with, like, the gross, like the killer robot and the beak man and the lizard dragon guy and the orange dude.
And he's the least cool of them.
But he's, like, the lovable...
He's different, though. He stands out. He's different.
Yeah, he pops. None of these guys... Geetus pops when
Geetus
you look at
pops.
Him.
Pops. Is it Geetus or Geetus?
I'm saying Geetus. Maybe
I'm
it's
saying
Geetus.
Geetus.
All right, Geetus.
We'll let them. We'll let the originators correct us if they ever need to.
How the fuck do they know?
Yeah, maybe Geetus is, like, Geetus and Iggy are in a band. Doesn't Iggy look like he has a flute?
That's like a metal stick.
With a hole in
which
it,
is,
and
which,
a
is
few
how,
holes on top.
Which is how I believe I did describe the flute the first time I picked it up.
Okay.
Don't give me this metal stick, Mom.
This is the most boring episode of this podcast of all time. Okay.
Get me into some fucking fantasy, man.
Geetus is... So he's on this planet. He's on the planet of Ta. There's all these people and dragons, like...
Everybody's fucking intense. Everybody's angry. Even the goddamn robot is angry. Everybody's fucking scowling
you know what,
and
you...
trying to kill shit. And Geetus is here with a big... freaking grin on his face.
I think you do that. I think the planet is at war. And then you can do everyone. Mm. The conflict is all of them have to unite to fight against the Space Vikings. Do you know what I mean? Like it could be like that. Like the dragons and the people of Ta are all feuding with each other.
So that sticker sheet would be like a spoiler for people.
No, I think it's like you have all these dragon riding, dragon wielding tribes that
fighting each
other,
right?
Okay, like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Dragons
yeah,
are their magic,
yes.
Right?
Okay. So it's a land of dragon barbarians, and then Vikings come to attack. Space Vikings come to attack.
Yes, because they're like, we want your dragons.
We want your dragons. Yeah, we want your dragons. Because we go around, because we're Space Vikings. Space Vikings.
This is just like if you told a 5-year-old to recount Game of Thrones to you.
Well, as you said, the end of this pitch will be like, is that but good?
I don't know. I want.
Because Star Wars is just big bad guys are attacking good space people.
But it's weird that like the people are all feuding and using the dragons to fight each other, and then someone else is coming to kill their dragons.
Yeah.
That's a little, that feels like double. Like just.
Oh, well, yeah. That's why the I like the Space Vikings are here to.
And all these people live in peace and harmony.
Yeah, with the dragons.
Okay.
And Geetus. How about Geetus? Okay, bear with me. How about you're in? Is Geetus is not from the land of Ta?
Okay, yeah, no, keep going.
In fact, that's
kind
of the thing. This isn't the land of Ta.
Oh, can I have an idea? Oh, okay.
Can you?
I don't know. Will, can you?
Shut up. Tell your idea, then I got an idea.
Because again, they call him that. It's like, oh, it's Geetus from the land of Ta. Geetus is like a stowaway on the Space Viking ship. He's not of this land either. So he's like a total fish out of water. He got caught in this intergalactic battle. He just wants to get back to Ta. And everybody knows him. He's like, who are you? He's like, I'm Geetus from the land of Ta. I just want to get out of here. He's just this fucking goofball smurf who got like picked up from like, you know, like those guys who are like, I guess it's an urban legend, but like swimming in a pool and then the firefighters come and scoop up water from a pool and then the scuba divers in it. He's like that. He was just like on this planet. And then during the war, he got scooped up into the Space Vikings. And now he shows up on this dragon planet.
I got a zag.
Okay.
To hold on to that, because it's interesting. What if, because this is like maybe a little cute energy for Geetus. What if Geetus is like this fuzzy little fuzzball? No one knows where he's from, but he's like Will Ferrell, an elf. He thinks he's a dragon.
Ooh,
oh,
shit.
Do you know what I mean?
That's way better than my zag.
He got picked on by all the other dragons because he was raised by dragons, right? And so here's how it works. There's like the dragon nest, right? And then when a dragon comes of age, you are bonded with a hero, like on this world. And then you go off and have adventures with these heroes, right?
He just wants wings.
Yeah.
The end action scene, the end moment is like they're going to build him wings to join the battle.
But it's like, I also feel like it's an interesting, you can do like a Pokemon type thing where like you have like one of these characters is the human that he gets bonded with. And this human wanted a cool ass dragon, right?
Yes.
But now this unlucky human and this unlucky not a dragon are going to have to bond. And it's like really like the message is like being a dragon is just about being brave of heart. Or whatever.
Maybe it's Ursula because just to be blunt, she's the one who doesn't have a dragon and she's kind of ugly and looks like a dragon. So it could be that they're so mean to her. They're like, hey, you already look like a dragon. You don't need a dragon. So these two misfits come together.
Oh, I like it because Ursula has the axe in the shield, which is the fantasy symbol of like you're a hard ass, right?
Yeah.
yeah. like noble young idealists fight with like a short sword, but if you've got the axe and the shield, like you're yeah. like you're ready to fuck stuff up, right?
Yeah.
So you do like Ursula is like, yeah, she was picked on, and she has this chip on her shoulder, right? Because she looked different from these Aryan ubermenches that
yes.
represent everyone else. So yes, you do. Ursula gets paired with Geetus, right?
Yeah.
And then Ursula and Geetus are this like dragon hero team. Okay, so yes, here's what it is. Okay, this is very good. This is very good. You have this land where dragons and humans live in harmony, right? But there's occasionally like evil misgivings and, you know, stuff like that. So you have like, there's like the Jedi Knights, like the cops of this world essentially are these dragon human combos that go around and like so go on adventures and, you know, save people from fires and they rescue people and they, you know, like, you know, stop monsters and stuff like that.
You might even do like Ursula, like, and Ursula believes she has this destiny or whatever, but she's looked down upon. Then there's a chance to prove herself because these space Vikings are coming.
Yeah.
And all she wants is a chance to prove herself, but then freaking yes, Aryan Ubermensch Sicily is like, yeah, whatever. It's like, you're ugs. Oh, you want a dragon? Sure. Hey, Geetus, you're her dragon.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
everybody
yeah,
laughs
yeah,
and whatnot.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then these two are the people who save the day in the end.
Yes.
That's much better than my zag, which was we don't know how big Geetus is and what if he was a 50-foot tall. Yeah, you know I mean, like what if he was the size of a mountain? You know,
Geetus the world eater.
Geetus is basically like a giant.
Maybe he believes that his species of dragon, he just needs to grow wings. And then when he finally gets in, like he finally has that like right use the force moment. And he's like, I know how to grow my wings. And then he like concentrates. And then instead of growing wings, yes, he grows to like 100 feet tall. He's like, oh, I'm not a dragon. I'm just a big monster.
I'm a giant.
And then they all ride Geetus. And then Geetus rides into battle as like a big woolly mammoth. And he's like Godzilla. And then all the dragon ladies are on top
it's
of
pretty
him.
Pretty good. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Okay.
But he can change size whenever he wants, because then it's cute, because then Geetus can also go to the size of like a little pocket animal, and then he sits in like Ursula's pocket.
So he discovers that like he can grow and
shrink. Which is pretty dope. If you told me that this little adorable little bear thing with horns could
okay,
grow.
So here's something, is that you could do that. Tokar has the answers of Geetus's identity.
Oh.
Because Tokar is this alien probe droid or whatever, and from this galactic Viking Empire. So like he would know like the bestiary or whatever, so he would maybe be able to tell Geetus what he is.
Yeah.
And then like Geetus finds out he was like his planet got wiped out by the space Vikings, or they've all been enslaved by the space Vikings or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so the end of the movie is Geetus and Ursula going off to the sequel where Geetus is going to go home and they're going to free his people.
Oh, so Geetus is not from this planet.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's okay, like Geetus doesn't know where he's from.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, he's never seen
he's
anybody like him on
the planet. He's like a Superman, right? Like you would do his planet, like sent their babies out into the universe to save them when they were going to get taken over by the... It's like a Moses thing.
Or Leela in like Futurama.
Yeah.
So Geetus is looking for...
Well, she turns out to be a mutant.
Yeah, well, yeah. But at first you're like, Geetus is the only one of his kind on this planet.
Yes. Okay.
And he keeps showing up. It's like a little bit in the original Gates of Fire, the good version of Thermopylae battle. It's like this kid wants to... become a soldier, but it's like you're not a Spartan. Like again, Geetus keeps showing up.
Did
at the
you just say the good version of Gates of Fire as if 300, the fucking greatest movie of all time, does not exist, Matt?
You haven't
Matthew
read
Arnold.
You haven't read Gates of Fire.
It sounds like you have not watched 300.
I love 300. But anyway.
I don't need to read Gates of Fire to know it could not possibly top.
It's way better. But yes, it'd be like he keeps showing up at the gates of the Women of Ta, being like,
it's once again. It's not that the Women of Ta are one group that have their own thing with their own gates, man.
I know. I was just trying to say, he appears at the Dragon Masters, and he's like, hey, I'm a dragon, and they laugh at him all the time. And they're like, go back to where you came from, or whatever. And he's constantly searching.
Here's what I would say. There is, like, the dragons live in, like, a dragon nest with Eris, the mother dragon, right? Mm-hmm. And then you would do that there's this rite of passage for heroes where they climb a big mountain to go find the dragons, and then they bond with a dragon, and they come down from the mountain with their dragon companion, and then they go out into the world to be adventurers, right?
Sometimes they bond with the dragons based off of some of these stickers. It was like Astrid came down, they're like, oh, what happened, Astrid? Your lower half is now a dragon.
No, but I like that you would do like the real stoner mysticism thing would be like they do bond with their dragon, like their souls fuse into one, and so they can turn into both. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're a dragon shifter. Like, that's a different thing.
Ooh.
You got to have a different thing.
Oh, yeah. They all got, all these dragon people all have different.
Yeah, you got different rarer things so that Geetus can be, like, talking about that
stuff.
Yeah.
So basically, what Geetus lives with these dragons and is always waiting to see, like, what human hero is going to come and be my hero, and I'm going to go off on adventures with them because he really wants to go have adventures, right? Like, all the others are, like, his dragon buddies, right? And they're like, you're not a real dragon, blah, 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 blah. And so then you do Ursula and, you know, the two snooty white ladies. Cecily and Romelda are all good.
Those are good Snooty White Lady names.
Cecily and Romelda and Karen and Becky are going up to the... they're going up to find to bond with their dragons, right? Yeah, you would do like your meet cute for Ursula and like they prank Ursula, right? They send her down another way and there's a rock slide and Ursula gets trapped. And then, you know, so, then Geetus shows up and saves her. Or like Geetus is in trouble and Ursula saves him and they bond with each other, right? She's like, oh, I can't believe I got stuck with this stupid Geetus thing instead of getting a real dragon.
Yes.
I feel like Geetus talks in like a Chicago or like a Brooklyn blue crazy. He's like, hey, lady. Hey, this ain't lady. No picnic for me either. Give me a break. I'm Geetus.
Yes,
that's so good.
How about Geetus ends up being, there's also like the what they're doing on the planet is that, I don't, never mind.
So, what?
It's just since Geetus grows super tall, I'm just imagining that.
Is that, that's canon now?
Oh, you don't like Geetus growing?
Yeah, anyway, keep going.
Okay, well, you're definitely not going to like this, which is if they're searching for the mother of dragons this whole time, and then when Geetus gets huge, you realize, like, his underside, he's got tons of nipples, and then he's the mother of dragons, and all the dragons come and feed from him. And they're like, Geetus is the mother of dragons. Like, hey, what do you know? I'm a mom. I'm a mother of dragons. And he's a big walking
mouth. Hey, come suckle up my teats.
Come suckle up my teats.
Hey, all you dragons, go and get in there. Hey.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I grew to be 50 stories tall, and now all the dragons are drinking from my milk.
So
that's what Joe Robat's like. This show got weird. I'm gonna go back to Rugrats.
This is when they moved from weed to acid.
Okay.
So
sorry for that. For that, Shane.
I mean, I'm not against it. Okay, so you have like Act One, Geetus and Ursula meet. Like you start with the space Vikings being like, "Where shall we go next?" And then
bring me another plaything.
Geetus and Ursula meet up, right?
Yes.
And because Ursula is like a dragon speaker, right? Like she's in the last stage of the trials, which is when you bond with a dragon, right? And everyone's giving her a hard time, and then everyone's giving Geetus a hard time, and then these two outcasts meet.
She fails barely. Okay, so if it's like Avatar, where like they go up and to get a dragon.
Yeah.
You're following Geetus. What does Geetus want? Geetus wants to be somebody's dragon companion.
Yeah.
So you start this epic scene. Geetus is climbing this epic mountain because like a puppy in a...
Is he following her around?
No. He's constantly goes to the nest where all the dragons are and sneaks in and like puts on those puppy dog eyes and hopes somebody will choose them. Every time they get up there, somebody's like, Geetus is up there again. They're like, Geetus, nobody's going to pick you. And he's like, come on, like, just give me a chance. Like, you can't, like, I can
I
be
know
up.
I'm a dragon.
Yeah, I know I'm a dragon. I can be up there. If nobody picks me, they don't pick me. It's like, you're bothering the other dragons. You're not supposed to be up there. So that's, like, his thing. Like, clearly he wants to be picked up as a dragon, so he keeps trying to sneak in. He's like those pictures where there's, like, you know, there's, like, one dog and a group of penguins. He's, like, clearly not, like,
yeah, the other dragons pick on him and make fun of him.
I would do Ursula fails her challenge. Mm-hmm. She doesn't get up there.
Oh, so she gets sabotaged by the other
girls. Yeah, because then you have this, like, chip on her shoulder, and then they, like, as some sort of cruel fate, or because Geetus is like she doesn't make it up all the way, but then Geetus is like still there or whatever. So like they give her Geetus.
There's some cruel twist of fate.
Yes, her and Geetus are teamed up or whatever.
I also like the idea of doing that. Like Geetus is like, you're my human hero. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're not my dragon and I'm not a hero. I failed the test.
Yes. Yes, you know,
but he's following her around and won't leave her alone.
Yes. Right? And then she's on some quest to become like a dragon knight. Some term, right?
Yes.
That's her want. She wants to be a dragon knight. Mm-hmm. So she, while all this stuff is happening, she finds some quest that she believes that she will complete, she will be considered a dragon.
And then she can get a real dragon.
And she can get a real dragon.
Yeah.
She doesn't tell Geetus. That's like the low point, right?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
They're going to pass it and then she's going to get rid of Geetus. And then Geetus wants her to become Dragon Knight because then he'll be really a dragon.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the two of them
go
on this journey while there's this big war going on. And everybody's like, whatever, so like, go do whatever. Yeah, as long as you're out of the way. And they're going to go find the Dragon Lance of Ta or whatever that will like blow down the ships from outer space or whatever it is.
They're going to unite the people of Ta.
Yes.
Or whatever. Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. Something like that. Yes. That's very cute. It's one of those.
And that's a good end point where it's like, I mean, that's a good midpoint where like Ursula's like, we're going to do it. I'm going to become a dragon. And then I'll get a real dragon. He's like, what do you mean get a real dragon? I'll be a real dragon.
You mean
dragon.
I'll be a real dragon.
And she's like, Edith, you didn't really think like you're a big, dumb, fuzzy Chicago accent guy. Like, I don't need you.
Hey, deep dish pizza over here. I don't know her Chicago accent.
And then it's going to be like Ursula is like going off on her own. And then like, yes. And then Geetus's thing. So what's Geetus's problem?
Okay. So Geetus.
I get Ursula. Ursula needs to believe in herself and not freaking depend on other people's, you know, how they identify her to know her true courage and strength.
Yes. And it's like, again, like she wants to be this dragon knight. They sabotage her. She still blames herself for failing. And like, you know, she's down on herself. She's going to learn something about Geetus. Like is this searching for an identity? identity, yeah. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not a dragon.
But he also needs to have his own self-worth, because I want Tokar to be like this sexy robot who's like, Gidus, join me instead of these humans. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, Tokar's up in that bitch.
Wait.
Fucking getting Gidus, like, tempting Gidus the whole time.
I feel like I'm six steps behind you, friend. Okay. Which I'm not saying is a problem. It sounds good. Just, you've introduced a new, so there's like a third party, the evil robot.
The temptress,
who
Tokar.
For some reason want Gidus. So Tokar sees the worth of Gidus,
yeah.
And wants Gidus.
Tokar wants to milk Gidus.
Okay, well, because maybe Tokar's the only one who knows Gidus is. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe Tokar's the only one who knows Gidus's true identity.
Yeah.
And knows that when Gidus like reaches his full
hits
potential.
Puberty.
Yeah, it's puberty.
Yeah.
God almighty.
Reaches his full potential sexually. Now reaches his full potential that he can use Gidus for, sure, milk or something.
Yeah.
And he knows what Gidus needs in order to become, yes, it's like he knows what Gidus' species is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he knows that.
Because he's an ancient supercomputer from a lost civilization prior.
That's so fucking cool.
Then maybe you do that the two sides need to join together to stop both the barbarians and the, I know I keep saying Woman of Tabas just because that's the sticker sheet, come together to save Gidus from the robots who are trying to milk him.
Okay.
They need milk for some reason.
Okay, I have the. I know
the milk
they,
will allow.
I know. Shut up. I know what they need the milk for.
Oh, okay, okay.
You think fucking dragons were the first thing they fueled their spaceships on? Gidus's people were the original fuel.
Oh.
Like the milk of a Gidus can take you to 0.5 past light speed.
They're like,
you know,
space,
I mean?
Cows.
They're space cows.
That's very good. Oh, so when the barbarians find out that there's a Gidus here.
You are telling me there is one of the Giduses here on this planet?
Yes.
Oh, maybe they alter
this primitive planet has harnessed the power of Gidus.
They do. The Women of Taha and the Vikings do join forces because both sides will be satisfied if they can get, if the
one
Vikings
Gidus.
Get Gidus, they'll leave. Because Gidus,
one pint of Gidus,
yes,
milk
one,
could power our stuff.
One Gidus,
ages and ages,
for millennia.
One Gidus is worth thousands of dragons. And again, the Dragon Knights don't give a shit. They don't like Gidus. They're like, yeah. So then the question is, does Ursula? And now Ursula is accepted as part of the Dragon Knights.
Oh,
so is she going to go against her friend? And then so like Gidus is now. All the sides want Gidus in the end. Then what is Gidus going to do? This man who had no identity and nobody cared about is now the most important thing on this planet.
Oh, okay. So you do. Okay. Because, yes, I like that Gidus is a baby Gidus.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and once you turn into a full Gidus.
Yeah.
Once you go full Gidus, it's like, fucking watch out, right?
Yeah. So got then milk? We got Gidus. We got milk for days, motherfuckers.
So, but you do that. Like, the Gidus is like one of the most beautiful and powerful. Like, they're the mother of dragons, right? Like, they are the creature, right?
Yes.
From which all races descend.
Yes.
Including the race of robots.
Including the race of robots. Tokar. Okay, so yes, you would do. Ursula and Gidus are off on this adventure. They're trying to find the mother of dragons.
Yes. She's like, if I can find the mother of
dragons.
They're
trying to find Eris, the mother of dragons, to wake her up so that she'll wipe out the space Vikings,
yes.
Right? And then, so they're doing that. Like, that's Act 3. They're going through the land of Gidus. They're meeting Iggy and Zoltan and Harry and Eric, all your friends.
It's
your
a little bit of Wizard of Oz type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're learning about heroship and friendship and all that stuff. And, you know, meanwhile, they're encountering the snooty Cecily and Romelda. And then, you know, maybe she has a meeting or two with the wise Queen Sybil, who's the Queen of the Dragon Knights or whatever. And then, of course, crossing paths with the villainous, whatever the fucking Viking guys are named. Okay, so. That's their adventure, right? And then there's this Tokar is on their trail or something like that. And then you would do, I'm trying to figure out what it is. They get to the Mother of Dragons.
I think they don't find the Mother of Dragons, but they find...
I was going to say they find Eris, and she's like, I'm not the mother of dragons. The mother of, like the, I am not the original dragon. Like, the original dragon is like a, you know, again, like, essentially that would be the term. I am her daughter. Like, or I am of the species that whatever. I don't know. Like, you would be like, they get to the Cave of Mystery, and then they discover something, right? But then, I guess, when does this turn happen?
Yeah, because I actually think they need to find, bear with me, if it wasn't literally the Mother of Dragons, maybe they're looking for, like, the staff of the Mother of Dragons. Because they could actually get the staff. And then Ursula gets the reward of joining the Dragon Knights. Like, again, the low point. But again, but she leaves Geetus.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, she was here not for Geetus, for the Dragon Knight. Like, when they find it, they also discover what Geetus is, and Geetus is taken by the evil robots or whatever.
So the robots take Geetus. So, yes.
She leaves Geetus. She's like, you were never a dragon. You should be happy for me. I'm getting a dragon now. And he's like, we're not going to be friends anymore. And she leaves. And they're like, woo, you're awesome, Ursula. You found this. This is going to help us fight the barbarians. And poor Geetus is wandering through the desert, and he's taken. Because now everybody, because again, when they grabbed the staff, it activated something in him or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I see what you're going for.
And then they find it out. And then the barbarians and the Vikings are going to go after Geetus.
And she's the only one who can stop them and save
what happens if we find Geetus? We're going to give him to the Vikings, and he's going to be chained in a milking ship and spend thousands of years being enslaved.
Yeah.
But our planet will be saved. Isn't this great? She's gonna have the choice to make. Is she gonna stand up against her people to do the right thing?
I'm trying to figure this out. Feels like you would do. She gets whatever this MacGuffin is, mm-hmm. right? That is gonna help win the war, but then it doesn't work.
Yes.
And they are beaten to a standstill, right? Yes. And then you do that. They, instead of being destroyed, the Vikings are like, we will spare you if you give us this creature, Geetus, right? And so then, like, that's your real low point. Is like, Geetus is like, I'll go with them to save you guys, right? And then Ursula's like, but this is wrong. Like, I thought we were heroes. We're supposed to defend the innocent, you know? And then Geetus is going to go off onto the warship.
Oh, and you get the whole thing where he's like, nobody like me here anyway. Well, I'll just go, I guess. Y'all, none of you were friends to me.
Maybe,
but that monologue works so much better if he has a cutesy voice. Maybe, it doesn't work if he has a deep Chicago accent.
Maybe Geetus. Okay, bear with me. What if what they're looking for is called like the mother's egg or something? Just bear with me.
Okay.
The Geetus's creatures, they go through puberty or the milk age once they consume like this blueberry, whatever. They consume this space rock.
Mm-hmm.
This is what that is. Again, from long ago. So when they get there, they're excited they find it. And then it's the classic, like, it absorbs into Geetus or Geetus breaks it because it all goes into him. And she's furious. She's like, we got all the way here and you broke it.
You ate it?
Yeah, you ate it or whatever.
It looked tasty.
It looked tasty, right? So she's angry and she goes back. But she's rewarded because, like, wait a second, what happened? It consumed into the creature you were with? You found the mother egg? Oh, my God. Geetus is one of them. So, again, like, she's succeeded in the quest. And then she's given the Dragon Knights an out to this. They're like, if we give them Geetus, it'll solve it. So again, she still gets like the praise of friends, but she gets so angry at Geetus for eating it because, you know, he's just a big, hungry Shrek type creature that she casts him aside or whatever and is furious. And now poor Geetus is going through changes out in that desert because he just drops a major LSD essentially.
Here's what you do. Geetus overhears her the night before they get to the treasure.
Yeah.
And you do it some gem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this gem. It's like, you know, like it's supposed to, you know, be the chosen gem that's going to be, you know, like do the hero thing to whatever, right? Yeah. He overhears her saying she's going to cut him loose when she becomes a dragon knight.
Yes.
So to prove his worth to her, mm-hmm. he goes out ahead of her. He goes into the dangerous cavern to find the gem, to be like, I'm a, like you, and then, but then he grabs it and this weird thing happens and it absorbs and it disappears and she's like, you fucking idiot, like blah, 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 blah. And she's super
mad
at him.
You'll never be a dragon. You'll never be a dragon,
you dumbass. Yeah. Yes. And then he's all sad. He runs away, and then, you know, she goes back home empty-handed and tells them what happened. They're like, wait a second, Geetus? Like, the stone absorbed into Geetus? Do you realize what that means?
Yes.
Geetus is of the race.
Yes.
The first dragon, not dragon, but, like, you know, the creator race or whatever.
Yeah. She's like, sorry, I failed. He's like, you didn't fail us. Like, you found the Urstone, and you awoken a Geetus.
Oh, and then, so, you know, but then Geetus ran off, right?
Yeah.
So then you do every dragon hunter, dragon rider, is their new mission is to find Geetus.
Yes.
And capture him and bring him as an offering to the space fight. Vikings, right? Because that's the only way out of this war.
Yeah.
And so now she's got to be a real dragon rider and go find her dragon before everybody else does.
And as everybody's hunting him and she knows what's going to happen to him when she's caught, you have that flashback scene where she remembers all the good times they had.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to find him. I'm going to find him to save him instead.
Yeah. And then so, she finds him right as he's getting surrounded and the space Vikings have found him too. And, you know, like then like everyone's about to kill each other. And then she tells Geetus that she loves him. And then like love is the secret that activates his next form. And he goes Super Saiyan and becomes an ultra dragon.
Yeah. And says there's enough milk for everybody. And he squeezes milk everywhere.
And then he just milks himself.
No, he destroys everything and starts the world anew.
Just the two of them. She's like, wait, is it literally just me and you? And she's like, we're friends now, but I don't want to spend
eternity with you.
And then his eyes are just like hypnotic.
Let the Vikings be bad. He smashes the Vikings.
He vaporizes them
and sends the last ship retreating. And again, he spares the Dragon Knights.
Yeah, he is kind.
And the Dragon Knights,
you would do, it's one of these, right? You would do, she finds Geetus, right? And then she's going to protect Geetus from all the other Dragon Knights. And then the Queen Dragon Knight is, what's her face? Sybil. Oh. Sybil is like, what have we become? Do you know what I mean? She's like, you are right. Like, you, Ursula, have moved me. Like, why? How could we sacrifice this creature? And then, oh shit, what's that shadow overhead? It's the Viking warships. They're like, oh, we're taking that fucking Geetus, right? Yes. And so it launches this war over Geetus. Geetus overcomes his, like, self-doubt and stuff. And hulks out into his new form and blasts them away.
And then
he goes off to find his people at the end.
Yeah.
And she goes literally is 50 feet tall and flies off into space. And they're like, goodbye,
He creates a dragon for her.
Well, no,
because he's the creator.
Let her. The nice little coda is she's climbing the mountain again to get her new dragon.
Oh, yeah.
And then also you see like he's off in the distance, like cheering around with like a little sign, like, go, Ursula, you can do it. And she gets the dragon. She's like, yeah.
And then
she says goodbye to him as he goes to look for his own people.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And then she and her new dragon buddy wave him away as he like flies.
Oh yeah, he's flying away, and what's that outside the window of his 747 jet that he's flying away on? It's her and her dragon flying right outside the window, and they're waving goodbye to him.
Oh, I think he can.
He flies.
Yeah,
he becomes a 50 foot tall.
Yeah, again, his whole thing is he's wanted wings, and he has these psychic wings, and he takes off into space.
Yes, they fly all the way up to the atmosphere, and then right at the where he can fly and she can fly no longer, they say goodbye to each other.
Yeah.
And her little dragon's like wheezing because the air is so
that Wiz Khalifa song plays, and we pan up to the stars.
And then all the dragon knights and her is like, are we ever going to see Geetus again? And then all of a sudden something drops on their shoulders. Like, hey, is it raining? It's not raining. It's milk.
He is escorting his milk all over the planet.
One last gift from Geetus. The land rains with milk.
And then it pans up, and then there's a consolation. That's a Geetus consolation.
And the next day, he's like, it just smells like fucking sour yogurt everywhere. Fucking Geetus.
Sour yogurt. That powers the starships of an empire. That's great.
Yo, Geetus,
give me a summary.
Rocks.
Give me a summary of Geetus in the Land of Top.
All right. So
we've been all over the place on this one, boyos.
We start in the cruel warships of the Viking Galactic Empire, where Stefan and Rodan,
hey, what's up?
Having conquered yet another world, are setting their sights on another.
And another one.
So
and
much
another
blood.
One.
So much blood. I love it.
Fucking love it.
They
dude.
Need yet more dragon fuel for their engines.
Oh, our tank's a little empty, bro.
Stefan, you want more dragons, bro?
I think we need some. We're kind of running on empty. Is there like a rest stop? What about like this plan over here?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. So that works for the prologue.
These guys
are
a lot nicer than I thought they would be. They seem really affable. so then we cut to the Land of Ta, where a lonely tinkerer named Geetus is fixing up an ancient robot named... Are we doing that? No, we're just doing that. They send out their... They get a report from one of their robot minions that he's found a dragon planet.
Yeah, it's like Tokar in for the Viking.
Tokar radios in that he's found a new planet where man and dragon live as one, and he's like, great, these docile dragons, we can capture them and domesticate them.
Yeah.
Right? And we can have a dragon slaughterhouse. Okay. They set their warships towards Ta. We cut to Geetus. Geetus is scrambling up the rocks to go be with the dragon nest as the time of the dragon...
It's the choosing day!
Choosing day for the Dragon Knights, right? For the new Academy of Dragon Knights. And so he's up there, and he's getting yelled at and picked on by the other dragons. Meanwhile, Ursula...
He's prepping himself up. He's putting on fake wings and everything.
Putting on fake wings. He's got an adorable cute little costume. Meanwhile, Ursula is questing up the mountain along with Cecily and Rimelda, who do not like her and are pranking her and are scared of her because she's a better warrior than them. So they trick her into failing the test, and she's dejected. But in failing, she saves Geetus, or Geetus saves her. They save each other.
It'd be like the way she fails, she tumbles. In fact, you can even do a thing where she like maybe trips over Geetus because he's like trying to sneak back in, and they tumble down the mountain, and she almost dies, and they all laugh. It's like, no, what? You passed. There's your dragon.
Yeah.
And they all laugh because she's got this big, goofy creature with fake dragon wings on her. And she's like, damn it.
All right. But Geetus is like, oh my God, you saved me. You're my person. I'm your dragon. We're buddies now. Ursula wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah, he won't leave. Yeah, you get that fun thing where he won't leave her alone. He just keeps following her.
Yeah. So Ursula is all sulking. She's mad. And then you have the wise dragon knight queen, Sybil, like teaches her the theme stated about, like, you know, being a hero is about getting up and trying again and being brave. You know, it matters not
how. And not being discriminatory against Geetuses.
It matters not how many times one fails, but how many times one gets back up. Don't, great things come in weird packages, et cetera, et cetera. So. All that's going on, and then, oh shit, the Viking Galactic Empire shows up and invades the planet, and they attack Dragontown or whatever, and Ursula flees with Geetus.
You might even do that, might be the theme thing. She wants to fight, and then kind of like with Eowyn and Aragorn, it's like, She's giving the speech like, you're not a Dragon Knight. Today's not your fight. There'll be another day. And she's like, damn it, I'm a Dragon Knight. And she...
So she finds out from Geetus about the legend of the mother of dragons. Yes. Or of the Dragonstone.
Yes.
Right? And she's like, the Dragonstone, which is said to awaken the powers of the most powerful dragon of all. Yes. Right? And then she's thinking like, maybe then that'll be my dragon. It'll be great. Right? And this will turn the tide of the war. So, and Geetus knows the way to the Dragonstone.
Oh, Geetus just knows this because he's a dragon nerd, because he wants to be a dragon. So he knows
all the dragon lore. Okay. So then that starts, they shake hands. That starts your act three, where they're on their way to the cave of the Dragonstone.
Yes.
And they're meeting all our favorite friends. They're meeting Zoltan and Harry and Iggy and Eric. And all the while, the merciless intergalactic robot bounty hunter Tokar is tracking them.
And the classic thing would be Ursula is like a little bit like Black Cauldron. Ursula has this idea of what being a hero is. And then as she journeys through the land, you know, dealing with starvation and the effects of warfare, she begins to, you know, right, she sees it's not all glamour to be an adventurer and whatnot. She starts understanding what it truly means to be a hero.
Yeah. Because like, Iggy and Zoltan are these like wayward outcast dragon knights that fight for their lands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what you do with Tokar. This is very fun. Tokar, again, like I like that he's a supercomputer from an even older race than the Vikings, right?
But he's
kind of like their nerd. Like they pick on him. Like he's like the butt of their jokes. Like he's almost their comic relief. But then he's the one who sees like, what is this Geetus thing up to? Like he's the one who like, while they're having their war, he sees his way to like, you know, one up everybody by capturing this thing. So he goes down to the planet to hunt down Geetus and...
Activate bounty hunter mode.
Tokar's tracking them as they're on their adventure. Yeah, you do Zoltan and Iggy help them get to the cave of the Dragonstone, right? And the night before, they're toasting in her honor, and she's talking about how once she gets this stone, it's going to be great because she's not going to have to hang out with Geetus anymore. And a crestfallen Geetus hears this and is determined evermore to prove himself. So he goes into the cave and finds the Dragonstone and touches it and absorbs it into him.
Meanwhile, she's noticed that he's left, so she also follows so that she can witness the stone merging with
him. Well, she's furious. She's like, you idiot, you lost the stone. What the hell happened? And then, she's like, you'll never be a dragon. I hate you. You ruined everything. You ruined the planet. Like, we're all going to lose this war.
And she'd be like, you killed my people. And he's like, don't pretend like you did this for your people. You did this for your own glory. They have their big fight.
I don't think he says that to her. Oh, I think Geetus is too innocent.
But he could call her out on some shit. She needs to be called out on some shit.
But I feel like Geetus is the type to get hurt and take what she said too seriously and run off. And then, like, Sybil says it. Yeah, she's like, you didn't do that for us. You did that for your own glory, right? So anyway. So she goes back dejected to the Dragon Knights, but then they find out like, oh shit, no, Geetus is the key to this whole thing. Now that sparks the race to hunt Geetus, right? And everyone's off to hunt Geetus, and you do that. She's like dejected and feeling like shit, and then she's like, no, I'm going to go save my friend.
Yeah.
She goes to save her friend. She stands up to all the other Dragon Knights after she finds him. She's just like, you know, we're not going to sacrifice Geetus, blah, 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 blah. And then she moves the heart of Sybil, the queen of the Dragon Knights, and they all unite together to defend Geetus from... the space Vikings who've caught up to them at this point, and then...
it's a big fight, big fuck-off fight.
Geetus learns to believe in himself and accept who he is, and he triggers Geetus puberty and turns into a space cow and obliterates the space Vikings turn tail, you know, fleeing and say, we'll see you in the sequel! And then Geetus... bestows his boon of milk upon the land. Yeah. Well, we cut forward to the next.
The Space Knights are different than the Vikings because they don't ask him for his milk. They just let him go. They go, we hope you find your people. And then as he flies away, he grants them with he makes a lake of milk.
And then the milk lake. We flash forward to the next choosing day, and Ursula makes it up the mountain, and she helps the people who are her fellow knights.
Yeah.
She helps them all get up there. And then she gets a dragon, and then she has her goodbye scene with Geetus, where he goes off to find, you know, to go explore space and be a space god whale milk liquid thing.
All I'm saying is that if Denison talked to us back then, they would have a bigger hit than Star Wars, because Geetus and the Lanata is pretty fucking metal.
That slaps. That's fucking great.
Yeah, man, I can hear the fucking Deep Purple right now.
This is the 12-hour Rush prog rock, rock accompanying rock opera.
And that comes in right on the hour, boys.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
That's all Geetus and the Land of Ta. We're going to take a quick break.
I feel like that was too good of a story for our free jazz era.
We're going to retcon and make that episode like 14.
Yeah, there you go. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
I know.
Ah!
the end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the morning of the dragon choosing day, I scaled the mountain top and then I lost my way. Those are the dragon knights all laughed as I fell to my dippy doom. And something soft and fuzzy broke my fall. Jewel green eyes and horns so cute and small. That one no dragon, that was some freaky furball dude. There's a Geatus in the land of Tar. He thinks that he's a dragon, but he's really so much more. There's a Geatus growing great and tall. You grab his tips to milk him, and you'll power all our groovy starships. Let Remilla see it, let Sicily need it, let all the children milk him.
What a freaky, deaky episode
this
was.
It's a freaky episode. I just read Freddie and I don't actually do David Bowie impressions. We do impersonations of Jermaine Clement doing David Bowie.
Yeah, we're two removed.
That's pretty good.
Is this a freaky dream, Freddie? Is this,
this is a freaky episode? Matt.
I'm glad we finally recorded that because I have had There's a Geatus in the Land of Tar stuck in my head all weekend. So.
It was instantaneous. Like the moment, like I'd say 3 minutes after Will left Freddie's apartment.
I was like, we're doing Starman.
It was like, I have 7 text messages. Why? Just being like, we're doing this.
Well, that's a weird, freaky one. I guess we'll never know. But, you know, if you want to put in your headcanon that's what those weird pins are, you go ahead and do that. It's all right by us.
Shouts out to all our new Geatus conspiracy theory listeners who are hopefully listening to this. I hope you enjoyed our humble submission.
There's 3 people from the subreddit, and at the moment anybody posted this link, they'd be like, ugh, another some podcast trying to capitalize off of Geatus, trying to draft off of this Geatus energy.
When did Geatus become about the money, guys?
It used to be about the enamel pins. Now, here's a question. Next year's story break.
Oh, my God.
Can we just do a Geatus pin and then get a whole bunch of people to just shell out for a story break membership because they want to buy a Geatus pin?
This would be pretty good.
Is an interesting tactic. Very good. Will, tell me about the secret fan art that we're all in on.
Here's the secret fan art this week. There wasn't any.
Okay.
But I recently became a fan of Troubled Waters, the Maximum Fun quiz show that I was just on last week. So
what a coincidence.
Go check that out. I'm on it, and I'm really good on it. Anyway,
I've been seeing whispers in the Twitter sphere.
Rumblings.
That one Will Campos killed it on the episode.
They break into teams. So it was who's the best member of NSYNC were the teams, Lance Bass or Joey Fatone. So I was on Team Lance Bass. We won. We kicked ass. I shouldn't say that. Spoiler alert. But everyone was great. Dave Holmes was freaking awesome. He's a terrific host and just a wonderful
man.
He's
just like a man who came out of the womb ready to host with that voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he's such a pro. It's incredible. So anyway, check out Troubled Waters, our fellow show on the Maximum Fun Podcast Network.
Yeah.
Final question about Geatus. Do you guys believe, this is a question from the Reddit, do you think Geatus has a tail? Because somebody's trying to do a 3D printed figure of Geatus. Will, does Geatus have a tail, yes or no?
Geatus has a little nubbin tail. I think he's got like a bunny tail.
Yeah. I see the snout. And then the little pig snout, and I think
he's either got a curly pigtail or a little bunny.
No, it's like one of those little dog tails that don't really have a tail.
Like my dog's tail.
Nubbin. Yeah, 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 yeah. He's got a nubbin. So I'm going to go ahead and add that to the Reddit, see what it's a nubbin. Great.
Matt, make a Geatus minifig and put it on that Reddit and plug the fucking get some karma.
If somebody
get some people listening to this episode so we can run our Geatus scam.
If somebody makes a 3D model of Geatus, you don't have to print it, but if somebody makes a 3D model of Geatus and and gives us the file, we can, I promise I will 3D print it and paint it.
Wow.
Once I post it on Reddit for the karma.
Oh, yeah. Once I post it on Reddit for the karma.
That's what harvest it for the karma.
The exposure. All right.
The internet exposure.
It's a pretty easy thing to think.
From our home to yours, thank you for listening to Story Break. Gentlemen, what are you recommending this week?
That's an easy one, Will. I'm Freddie Wong, and I'm going to recommend Neon Genesis Evangelion is on Netflix, baby. Relive the fucking greatest anime of all time.
As if you haven't watched it before.
Okay, live it through for the first time. It was a very formative anime for me growing up. So yeah, check it out.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm going to recommend Neon Genesis Evangelion, the show
I just watched
for the first time this weekend. The pilot fucking slays. I'm furious they didn't show it to us in film school. It is the best pilot I've ever seen for anything. And now I'm in on the memes now. This is like when I discovered Austin Powers a year before everyone else, a year after everyone else in middle school. So by the time they were tired of all the jokes, I was doing the jokes. So now I'm doing like the pilot, the Eva meme, like all over the place. Like, it's great. So watch it. Host the podcast, Matt. Or Freddie will have to do it.
Or Freddie will have to do it.
Edit the podcast, Matt.
All right, so everybody. So Neon Genesis. But I haven't had time to watch Neon Genesis because I have a kid. So I am recommending Neon Genesis. Are you kidding? What else am I going to fucking recommend? Neon Genesis, also a formative anime for this guy.
All right.
Well, so Neon Genesis.
Thanks, everybody. Watch Evangelion.
Watch Evangelion, everyone.
It was
or Matt will have to do it again.
My friends were split on whether it was pronounced Evangelion or Evangelion.
Evangelion?
I don't know, man. It's not real. I don't know, man.
If anything, it would be like something.
Evangeline or something.
Evangeline? It feels like it would be Evangel Ion, right? Because it's like they're angels.
Fade out on this dumb discussion.
Hey, if you like your podcast to be focused and well-researched and your podcast host to be uncharismatic, unhorny strangers who have no interest in horses, then this is not the podcast for you.
Yeah, and what's your deal? I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Our show's called Baby Geniuses.
And its hosts are horny adult idiots. We discover weird Wikipedia pages every episode.
We discuss institutional misogyny.
We ask each other the dumbest questions, and our listeners won't stop sending us pictures of their butts.
We haven't asked them to stop, but they also aren't stopping.
Join us on Baby Geniuses
every other week on MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.